The sky is so starless. Baby, the sky is so starless. Baby, you got me growing heartless. So heartless, girl, it's starless. Starless, yeah, yeah, yeah.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back. We are back with another episode of the Red Light Special. First of all, you know, before we go any further, we're going to shout out Jake and Baba, our West Coast brothers. Thank you for the theme song, the intro, Starless. I still love that song. We get hit up about that song every week, man. Go check out Jake and Pop's new album, Sexual Warfare. And before we get any further, shout out to Jamie over at This Is R&B, man. They support us every week, man. And honestly, we couldn't do it without the support of the people, the support of the blogs. And we just out here trying to bring y'all good shows and good content. Chris, what's up? How you doing?
I'm good. And also, speaking of This Is R&B, I wanted to shout out Leanne LaHavis's video for Green and Gold.
Okay.
Which is, have you seen it?
I haven't seen it yet.
It's really dope.
Okay.
It's a lot of, the imagery in there is really dope. She basically starts the video with broken glass everywhere, and she's like strumming the guitar. And it's kind of a story that tells, like, her childhood memories, like how she remembers being a child, like, all curious, and then growing into, like, a woman. And then she ends up, just, if you see the video, you'll understand what I'm saying. But if you haven't seen it, go on This Is R&B and check it out.
You sound real connected. This is about, like, the fifth time you shouted her out to me. I think we got to get on the show.
I think so. The album Blood is really, really good.
I got to check that out. I did check out the new, did you see the new Tinashe video with Chris Brown player?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What'd you thought?
With all the dancing?
Yeah.
I thought it was good. I would have liked to see more between them two. There's a lot of extra people in there that I feel like
that's
took
how the rumor. That's how the rumors start. If they did Chris Brown, Tinashe, the whole video together.
They should have done a dance off. I mean, it was I think it was sexy what they did. Like, what they did was sexy. Like, I was watching, and usually it doesn't live up to the hype. You know, you have Chris Brown who could dance his ass off. You have Tinashe who's always dancing her ass off, and she's...
I don't know that she was always... I feel like Tinashe getting better as a dancer. I ain't always look at her as a dancer. And I feel like every time out, she impresses me more and more and more and more. Like, I didn't think that was something she was, like, super capable of. But, you know, she definitely growing as an artist. That shit is dope. And then PNB Rock. Did you check out PNB Rock yet?
No, I haven't. But I always see you talking about it, so I definitely have to take a listen.
Yeah.
What do you think of it?
You should check out PNB. PNB is this kid from Philly. He dropped a new... It's a mixtape, but it's for retail, called R&B 3. So,
That's the show he just did in Philly?
He just did show in Philly. It was crazy. I wanted to go. Clips. I had so much work to do. But they was like, yo, take that drive out to Philly. I thought about it, but I was like, nah. But, you know, he's definitely, like, in that new wave of kind of, like, an R&B artist. He considers himself an R&B artist. His tape is called R&B 3. But a lot of his singing is in rap cadences. Like, I know some people get turned off by that, but, like, you got to understand where we at now. Like, it ain't really no genre. Like, you could do both. Like, you don't have to limit yourself to sing or to rap. It's, like, whatever the beat or whatever the music tells you to do. So, PNB got some shit, though.
I feel like the way we all know Drake to do that is what all of the up-and-coming artists, especially from anyone from Toronto or Canada itself, you know, they're doing that. Like, Bryson Tiller.
Right.
You know, he could sing, he could rap.
Right.
He could rap his ass off. He could sing too, though. Right. You know, you have a lot of these artists who are doing the two of them. And I figure, why not? You know,
it's... But this is where my age come in. This ain't nothing new. Like, I remember Bobby Brown was singing and rapping. Like, you know, or Biz Markie was a rapper, but he used to... And you say he's just a friend. That ain't rapping. Like, you know, it's just music. But fuck it, let's get into it. Speaking of just music, I'm so excited about this week's guest.
Yeah.
I mean, this week's guest, what can I say, man? He's just one of the most exciting singers of this generation, and mostly just because of how real he is. Like, he holds nothing back. After a healthy mixtape grind, he dropped his debut album, Testimony, on Def Jam Records last year in 2014. His second album, This Thing Called Life, is on the way in December. And, you know, he got tracks like Hip Hop, Why I Do It, Song Cry, which he just released. And if those tracks are any indication, it's really, really going to be a dope album. So I want to welcome to the Red Light Special for the first time my guy, August Alsina, man. What's good?
What's goody, bro? Happy to be here, my nigga. Really happy to be here, bro.
Nah, man. Thanks for coming through. I remember, you know, everybody knows I'm at Genius.com now, Rap Genius. Before that, I was at MTV. Mm. And my dog, Flex.
Yeah.
Used to be in my ear. Like, yo, it's this dude named August. Yo, I'm telling you, you got next. And he used to stay bigging you up. And everything he said that was going to happen with your career came to pass, man. It's great to see you here at this point.
Let me find out Wody a prophet.
He definitely is, man. He be out there in the A, but he from New Orleans.
Yeah,
like you.
Yeah.
You know, he was the first one to put me on. But what's good with you, man? How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. I'm out here. I'm blessed, and I'm back in it, and I'm working, you know?
Okay.
I'm here. I'm to it, man. I'm grinding.
This thing called life is the new album. Is the album finished?
Oh, yeah,
it's done. Okay.
It's done.
You have an exact date? Right.
Yeah, December 11th is coming. You know, my fans been on my ass, you know what I'm saying, about the album. And also people, shit, who really might not even be fans. I think so many people waiting on the album, some just because, you know, they want to see if I'm a fail. They want to see if it's going to be good or not. And you know, some, you know, who really are fans, who really just want to support the boys. So, you know, I'm ready, man. I'm ready to give it to them. I have been waiting for a while to give it to the people, but I wanted to feel something. I realize how selfish I've been with my album. You know what I'm saying? Like, or with music, you know, I've realized that, you know, for people who might be a August Alsina fan, like the real August Alsina fans, people who come tell me, man, oh, you saved my life. I was going to kill myself, this, that. And, you know, you stopped me from doing that. Your music stopped me from doing that. I hadn't gave my people that music that stick to their ribs. And I think, you know, that's what Song Cry is. And, you know, hip hop is a conscious record. But I don't think that people really understand what hip hop is until they hear it as a body of work.
You mean within the context of the album?
Yeah. Because I sat down and played Khaled my album, and he was like, "Dog, I knew that hip hop was a dope song. I always knew I liked it, but when I heard it with the album, it became a completely massive song." You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I just think people need to hear the album and let it flow. That's why I've been selfish, because I want people to hear it as a body of work. I don't, you know, I didn't want to spread, like, keep putting out singles, spreading it out, mm-hmm. you know, because hip-hop and why I do it is two totally different kind of records. You know what I'm saying? So I could understand how people could kind of be up in limbo about what August Alsina is doing. Mm-hmm. So I'm ready, man. I'm ready for the people to have it.
That's dope.
Yeah. You got a question, Chris?
I love how you have like this. I don't know if you see it in yourself, but like a storytelling kind of way of doing things.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the only way I know how to do it, because my life is very interesting,
to say the least. Right?
Yeah, to say the least. I mean, I think that my life is very eventful, and I know that it's not in vain. It's like it's not. It has to be for a reason. All of these things don't just happen. Just to happen, you know what I'm saying? It's all for a reason. So, you know, with everything that happens, I find a way to turn my weakness into my strength. With everything that's going on, you know, throughout all the hate, throughout all the adversity, I still find a way to be calm throughout. And I know that I'm growing as an individual, because, I mean, like I never been this way before, and I noticed change within myself. I noticed that I'm growing, because, you know, I used to respond to things a different way. I used to, you know, with everything that was going on, like, I mean, people have to understand, I come from absolutely nothing to having a whole lot of everything. There was no middle ground for me. I come from absolutely shit to having a whole lot of everything. So it's like I don't have a choice but to kind of tell that story, you know, and be transparent with it. I mean, so I'm happy that, you know, I definitely know it about myself, but I'm happy that, you know, you can see it, that the people can see it.
Well, one of the things, when you talk about taking your weaknesses and turning them into strengths, your new song, Song Cry, like, I know Jay had a song called Song Crying. This is partly inspired by that, but it's something different.
Yeah, very.
Because even as much as we say it, and that Jay song came out 15 years ago, we taught that men are not supposed to cry. Yeah. Like, as a man, you're not supposed to shed a tear. And if you do, you better do it in your room and don't let nobody see it. And definitely don't make that your next single. Like, what inspired you? But again, you've been one, pardon the pun, to go against the grain. Like, you ain't going to do what everybody else is doing. What inspired you to be like, yo, Song Cry, this is where I'm at
well,
right
because
now?
I mean, I don't believe in that. I don't believe that a man isn't supposed to cry. I mean, you know, that's what society says. Society, you know, has a whole, say a whole lot of things about people, but I don't believe in allowing society to make me a robot. Crying has actually got me through a whole lot of things, and whether it was physically crying or just my soul crying, every day my soul cries just for waking up and being a black man in America. My soul cries every day about that, whether I'm physically crying or I'm not. But I think that being a black man in America is one of the worst things that you could ever possibly be in this day and age right now.
Talk about
So, I mean, me, I just believe in being 100% me. I'm aware of who I am. I have a good grip on who I am. And every day I'm finding out something new about myself. I'm emotional. I'm very emotional. I'm very sensitive in a whole lot of, you know, different ways. But I go through different phases, and I mean, I think a lot of that makes me who I am, you know. And me being so all over the place as an individual, I can put that into my songs. I can put my hurt and my pain into my music, because I know that I'm not the only one that this way. I can't be the only one. I'm not an alien, so I know that other people feel how I feel. I know that other people go through things. And see, the difference is with me is I'm not out here living a lie. I'm not out here living in this fairy tale world, just have a facade for other people. You know, that's what the world does. That's what society do. That society have everybody like robots. Society deprives people of being who they actually are. A lot of people in the world actually make their decisions off of what the next man might have to say, and they might not do what they want to do or be themselves totally because of they scared of what somebody else is going to say about them. You
and
know
judgment.
What I'm saying? Yeah, everybody. It's so weird to me that everybody is scared. I mean, people are literally scared to be who they are, who God made them, because of what the next person is going to say. But I don't believe in that. I'm like, why do I want to be the same person as you?
Did you ever succumb to like society norms? Like, was there an awakening that you had, or were you just always enlightened in this way?
I mean, the thing is, like I said, I'm growing every day, and I never believed in conforming for anybody.
Right.
You know, if I did, I wouldn't have cried in front of the world.
Right.
I wouldn't do the things that I do because I would be too worried about what other people might say. But I would drive myself insane if I did. If I did worry about that, or worry about what other people had to say about me, I would drive myself insane if I didn't cry. Sometimes I really need to cry. Sometimes I can't even give you a reason why I'm crying. I just feel like I need to cry. It's cleansing for me.
That's the real
shit. You know what I'm saying?
No, and that is so real.
It's therapeutic. Have to put it into and that's how Song Cry came about. I have to put it into my music. I have to, because like I said, other people need to hear this, man, because everybody out here, like I said, just living in this fairy tale land, everybody want to brush the bad shit up under the rug. But I mean, in reality, the world is bad. That's why nobody want to watch the news. Well, right. You know why? Because the news is too real for motherfuckers. Mm-hmm. The news is giving you that what's really going on in our world. And you know, the truth, it scares people.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I think that's why a lot of people, I feel like I'm kind of misunderstood when it comes to, you know, I think a lot of people don't really understand me. I think a lot of people see me as sporadic. A lot of people see me as ignorant. A lot of people, I don't think a lot of people really have a good view, a vision of who I am or what I'm here to do. But I have a purpose, man. And I'm so covered by God that I don't even think twice about the things that I may say. I mean, I have a huge fucking mouth. That's part of me. I have a huge mouth, and I battle with my brain all the time. I mean, I just, you know, it's a gift and a curse for me,
right?
Because I'm always in a constant, like, I'm thinking all the time, like, damn, did I say this right in the interview? Did I do this? I hope I didn't make nobody feel away. That was the turning point for me when I said, you know what, fuck it, I gotta live for me. I would tell anybody else in the world that too. You gotta live for you, my nigga. You cannot conform or be somebody else on account of somebody else's feelings. You got to do you, and it's gonna hurt people's feelings. It's right. Like you got to say and live your truth. It's gonna hurt people's feelings, but you have to, man. That's the only way you can move forward in life. That's what I believe.
Sounds so cliche, but when they say truth hurts, it really does. But you know what, though? It's a good thing that you at least acknowledge the fact that sometimes you're thinking, like, should I have said that? You know, is this going to hurt this person's feelings?
Mm-hmm.
At least you acknowledge it, and you have that power to put that into your music.
Yeah, definitely.
So why not write
why
it?
Why not? I mean,
put it into a song. And that's what fans, I think, if anything, are going to take away from somebody like you. You put all that in. Everybody, like you said, is conforming. They're hiding stuff. You know, they're bottling everything in. So when somebody else comes out and puts a record out and they hear it and it touches them, that's the most beautiful thing in the world.
Exactly.
Well, one lyric I wanted to ask about, and I wasn't being rude texting on my phone. I'm actually on the Genius app because I wanted to look up your lyrics.
It's all good.
And check it out. Shout out to my fam at Genius. You had this lyric because you actually rapped the last verse on Song Cry.
Yeah.
And you say, I try to buy my mama's love.
Yeah.
No, she don't appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what is going on in your life that makes you write something like that? What explain the real life application of what that lyric means and where that comes from.
I mean, it means exactly what it says. A lot of times when people ask me about my mom, I can never give a real answer because I don't think it's hard to explain. It's hard to convey it to somebody because I don't expect people to understand. It's always an iffy subject when you're talking about your family because people are like, oh, that's your family. You're not supposed to say that. That's your mama. She gave you life. My mom is a queen. My mom, she's a queen for simply for giving me life, for creating me, and she gets all the credit for raising me into the person that I am. But my mother, we have issues. That's just the truth. And you can think of three people right now, and those three people, they all have family issues. But the rest of the world, you know what? They want to hide and put on a show, for other people so other people don't see it. I mean, we always, it's like, you know, getting a new house, getting a new car. We always show that we got that new car, but we don't show what we had to do to get it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We show that we got this new house, but we don't show what we have to do to pay those goddamn bills, how hard we had to work to pay those bills.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So me, I just choose to, I mean, that's the only way I can, like, I totally believe in getting it off my chest. And as far as my, you know, that line, I feel like, that's my truth. I feel like I'm trying to go so hard to have this relationship with my mama, and I just don't know what I don't know what to do to get it right. You know, I just feel unappreciated. I take care of my moms. Like I'll do whatever for my mother any day. But my mother just doesn't. We don't have a good relationship with her. I mean, any of her kids. We all have issues, you know, with my mama. And that's not to say that she's a bad person.
It says that she's human.
Yeah.
And you guys are human.
Exactly. We have shit to work on. And I mean, that's all that line is. I mean, I mean, I don't have parents. I'm out here trying to teach myself everything. Mm-hmm. Everything that I've done thus far and accomplished thus far is with, you know, through the strength of God that God has given me. It's me and God alone. Mm-hmm. People have parents. I never had a father. Mm-hmm. So my mother's love, it means, you know, more than a lot to me. And, you know, not to not have that, I just feel a void in my life that, you know, I mean, it can't be filled.
Well, last week, speaking of family, you shared a Instagram, a text from mm-hmm. A family member. I think people said it was your cousin.
Yeah, that's my cousin.
Your cousin that just said some things that, reading it, sound hurtful.
Yeah,
you know, and I'm not you, so I'm not going through it, mm-hmm. and accused you for being the reason that your brother died. I know your brother was very, very important to you and died a few years ago. One, how much can you say what prompted that? And then two, sharing that mm-hmm. as well for the world to see, you put your whole thing on Front Street.
Well, I mean, everything comes from, all of this madness stemmed from Song Cry. You know what I'm saying? It comes from the song, because I'm so honest through my music. You know, it, like I said, the truth, it scares people, and it hurts people, and it ruffles people's feathers. So, I mean, as far as here's the thing. They already hated me. Mm-hmm. You know, that just amplified it. They already, you know, hated me before. So, I mean, I decided to share that with the world. I mean, first of all, for you to speak to me that way, you're not my family. Mm-hmm. You're not my family, and you can't come back from that. Say so she. And by the way, it was a girl who texted it. One of my cousins, and it's just like, there's no, oh, we family, I love you. No, fuck you. You can die slow. And for me, I heard somebody say something like, I hate when artists do things for attention, like August Alsina, for instance, putting that post on Instagram. Well, first of all, I already have your attention, because one, you called into a radio station, which is the hardest place to get on the line for them to pick up.
You called, how many times you gotta call, hang
exactly.
up and call back.
You called for to give your opinion on Lil O August mm-hmm. Alsina. So I have more than enough of your attention. And you know, the problem with the world, don't fucking flatter yourself, my nigga. Like, don't think that, how could you think that somebody is living their life for you? For who? And then it's like this. Rap niggas do it. They give you evidence of what they rapping about is true. They give you money, weed, bitches, and lean. They post that on Instagram.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Me, this is my evidence that everything that I'm telling you in my song is true. How could I name my album This Thing Called Life and not let you in on my journey?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, the thing is, for anybody to understand August Alsina, you have to be in a good place mentally, and you have to be in a good place spiritually, because everything that comes from this way is all love. Like, I have no hate in my heart. I fear nobody. I fear no man. I fear no individual. So everything that comes from me is out of love, and me being aware that in order for me to grow, I have to address certain things with myself. Right. I don't have nobody to talk to. I don't have parents around. My father is dead. Me and my mother, we don't have a relationship. I don't have nobody to talk to. God has put me in a weird position. Mm-hmm. God has given me all of these, what looks like to the world is riches and fame and a great life. But to me, I'm lonely. I'm by myself all the time. I don't have nobody around me. So he got me in a chokehold, and he like, oh yeah, I'm gonna give you these things, but I'm gonna put all this bullshit in your way as well, so that you can stay connected to me. I don't have nobody to talk to but God and talk through my music. Because
and I will say, not to cut you off, but what you do have, and I've seen it, and it's powerful, and I've spoken to people on your team about it, uh-huh. is your fans.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
I want to know, like, the story, like you said before, like, you have fans be like, yo, I was thinking about taking my own life, but I listened to your music.
Exactly.
And you stopped me from doing it. So it's not for nothing.
Exactly.
And it's not necessarily for attention. Like, you're really changing people's lives and affecting people's lives with this music.
And, you know, that goes back to what I was saying. I'm giving you evidence that what I'm saying is true. I'm not just talking to you just to hear myself talk. I'm not saying these things in my song just for you to think I'm cool. This is my life. And I'm more than sure that I saved a life with a text message like that. If I didn't, I will save a life because I'm letting people know that for the ones that don't have nobody to talk to like me, for the ones that's out here lonely and trying to figure it out themselves, every young person, every young boy or girl, you now can go to that text message that says and say, well, damn, Aug went through this, because as a human being, we're all working towards being a better version of ourselves each and every day. We all working towards growing and gaining something in life. And when you gain something, that brings hate. And when you gain something, that brings envy. And from the people, you know, from the people you love that you hold, you know, dear to your heart. So for me, it's just, I'm sharing this with you to let you know, hey man, on your way up, as you grind, as you go, and as you grow, this is what you can look forward to. I mean, it's not something good to look forward to, but hey, shit happens. This is our reality. So look, watch yourself. You don't have to kill yourself, but just, you know, just know that, I mean, it's gonna happen, but you'll get through it. You know what I'm saying?
You know, one of the things, bro, all this, and I hear pain that you're going through. You put the pain in your music. But shit, bro, like the success that you have, like like I get happy as a fan to see you get on the record, like, and you mentioned DJ Khaled, yeah. Like, get on the record, like Hold You Down and have that shoot to number one.
Yeah.
And get a plaque off of that.
Yeah.
And I want to go to that. I was with Khaled. Khaled's my dog. I was with Khaled about 2-3 weeks ago in the Genius office.
Uh-huh.
And I asked him, how did he convince, because on that record, Hold You Down is you, Jeremiah, Chris Brown.
Yeah.
Future, right?
Yeah.
Normally, we see it's nothing to see 5 or 6 rappers on the track, and Khaled is known for that. But I'm like, you took the rap posse cut and flipped it to R&B. How you get 5 dudes like that to sing in harmony? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
How do you convince you to get on this track and that this thing was gonna work?
Well, I fuck with Khaled. You know, I fuck with him as an individual. And you know, Khaled got some visions sometimes that a lot of people won't understand. But as do I. So it's not hard for me to, you know, get it. I'm like, okay, I see what you're doing. I remember actually the first time I was in New York and Khaled hit me, just randomly hit me. I was shooting this video with Fab, and he kept calling my phone, and I actually kept egging the nigga. Like, I kept hanging up, like, because I didn't know who it was. Right. So, I mean, I finally, you know, like, I had somebody else pick up the phone, and he was like, yeah, this Khaled. So they gave me the phone.
And you knew it was him, that voice, I'm mistaken.
Yeah, so I'm like, oh, shit, Khaled, what's good? He's like, man, I want you to pull up to the studio, you know, Dun Dada. So I pulled up, and Future was there. And, you know, we just kind of went back and forth on some lyrics and shit, and, creatively put some shit together. It was easy for me, man. I'm not a hard guy. I'm very simple, so it don't take much. Just as long as I see the vision and I understand it, I get it. I'm with it.
I feel like you're his guy. Like Khaled, with each album goes through. Like, he might do an album and Wayne might be on 5 songs, or Ross might be on 5. I feel like August Alsina is his guy right now.
You know,
now he has Gold Slugs and you're on
Chris,
it.
Chris, I think, you know, he told me, man, that Chris and Aug combo, man, I just have to have it. So I definitely could see him putting me and Chris together a lot more.
I mean, it sounds good. And talking about so many R&B artists in one song. As an artist in general, not even just as an R&B artist, who are some of the people that you've looked up to in the past that have helped you and inspired you in your music?
You know, man, I honestly get inspiration from all different places. I get inspiration from people who aren't artists. I get inspiration just from living life on its own. But I guess I'm into Lauryn Hill. I'm into I fuck with Life Genesis' first album.
I can see that. I can see how real the shit Life was talking about.
I enjoyed his first album a lot. I don't know what happened, you know, later down the line, but I really was into his first album.
I was the one with Must Be Nice.
Yeah,
it must be nice. It's a beautiful song.
Yeah, it's just his whole first album was just a nice body of work. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
and it inspired me. As far as singers go, Jasmine Sullivan, she's a monster. She got a beautiful voice. You know, I respect her for her craft, and you know, it's just a lot to learn from somebody like that. Donny Hathaway, Marvin Gaye. Ooh, I fuck with Donny Marvin Gaye for his story. His own father killed him. Like, right. You know what I'm saying? That's crazy to me. You and that right there makes me say you have to bring awareness to, I mean, what it is, your life. Not everybody get the opportunity to be an artist. I mean, to be a successful artist. You know what I'm saying? And so I just feel like you got to speak on it. There's a lot of shit that we experience that a lot of people would never experience. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? We all around the world and back, meeting this person and then the next. So I just feel like, you know, you should be honest. You should give your truth through in your experience through music, because not many get to experience that. And it's like, everybody is, I mean, as much as I would love for it to be, it's not all about money, bitches, and weed.
Yeah. Right.
It's not.
We have enough of that going around.
It's enough. And I think that's why I'm able to, you know, relate and connect with people. Like my fans, they go so hard, man. They literally go hard as a motherfucker for me. You know what I'm saying? And it's like they show me so much love. So the love that you know, I've been missing, like I never had love. I don't know what that feels like. So it's hard to give love when you never had it. You know what I'm saying? Right. So to feel the love from my fans, it's special, man. I couldn't ask for anything more, dog. It's a beautiful thing.
Is that why you do, I know in Life After the Gun, almost after every song you had, like, every song had its own outro, mm-hmm. so you kind of did a little bit of talking, and mm-hmm. you always, there was always, like, a moral lesson or value in every song. Is that why you do that, kind of, to just give back to the fans and mm-hmm. let them know?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely, like, I feel like, you know, a big part of me is talking. Like I said, I have a big mouth, and I feel like, you know, that's the only way you can get your point across is if you speak. So, I mean, with Life Under the Gun, it's just a lot that I have to say, man. I experience so much shit, like, every day of my life. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. It's pretty eventful. That's the only word I could, you know, think of. So yeah, I definitely you know, believe in talking. It's therapy, man. It's all therapy. Mm.
How do you deal with? I know we joked about it earlier. We're past that, but you know, to go against the grain, the BET controversy that became a thing where everybody was mad and everybody got over it. Recently, there was a thing with you at a concert in New Orleans where you brought a girl up on stage and you ran a hand across her breast, and there was some outrage against that.
Yeah.
What was that incident? How do you deal with those things? How do you take what's negative into a positive
place? Well, I mean, you know what? It happens on its own for me. Mm. I think that I'm so covered by God that it just happens. Like, I don't even know how it happens. It just happens. Like I said, it's about turning through every adversity. It's about turning all your weaknesses into your strengths. It's about. I remember Nikki told me one time. She was like, you know, all of your bad somehow turns into some good for you. And the only thing I could chalk that up to is absolutely being covered by God. You know what I'm saying? But with, you know, with that situation, I just was talking to someone else about it before, and he made me realize. He was like, You know, I saw the video, and he was like, I've seen other artists do this same thing or worse
before. It goes on a lot, especially at R&B concerts.
Exactly. Yeah. But nobody says anything about it. But you say something about August Alsina. That right there alone shows me. He was like, man, you're going to be bigger than you can even think, because they want to talk about you. They want to. I mean, I'm sure you've seen it. Like, you've seen that or worse happen before, and
Do you feel like because you're a guy, it might have also been worse, though?
Well,
because females do it a lot. I mean, Nicki's done it. Yeah. Beyonce's even done it. I mean,
damn, my wife probably
J Lo has done it.
Nicki can pull me on stage anytime. We get in trouble. Fuck.
But again, we make it acceptable for women.
No, she can't. I was just joking.
So, is it a double standard kind of thing?
It definitely is a double standard. But here's my thing about that whole situation. I looked at the video. It made me cringe because I'm not that guy.
Right.
I mean, there's nothing that you can look to. There's nothing that you can hold up with that video that makes me a sexual guy. That makes me everybody. The world has made me a sex symbol.
A sex symbol.
They made me that. I didn't. I didn't come in
because your music is not even really exactly. Overly sexual.
I didn't come in and say, oh, I'm gonna fuck your bitch. I'm gonna steal your girl. I didn't say any of that. I didn't say that I'm the best looking guy. None of that. The world, everybody else is doing that. I mean, so with that situation, like I said, it made me cringe because I just like, damn, I had no idea that that was even going on. You know what I'm saying? And when I realized, like you could see in the video, I jacked my arm back. And she had on this sequins dress, so I really didn't even know what I was feeling. I was too busy singing to actually even notice that. But I actually called her. Okay. I had to have a conversation with her just out of respect. As a man, I wanted her to know that I wouldn't disrespect you like that. You know what I'm saying? And of course, she was like, yeah, you know, she even posted on her Instagram one time, like, you know, the titty would have came out if we wasn't on stage or something like that.
Right.
But it was, she told me that she didn't even know. She didn't know that that was happening, you know? So, but she was more upset for me. More than anything, she was like, do they even know what you stand for, what you represent? Like, why are they even, you know, trying to do that to you?
That's
but
real.
That shows me that people, it made me realize that I'm more famous than I think.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's only gonna get worse though.
You're fucking famous.
Sorry to break it to you.
I mean I don't realize it because I don't feel it. And I wish that I could see my life through someone else's eyes. Mm-hmm. But She was really upset about it. She was a real fan. And I mean, for me, man, it's like this. The universe or God, whatever you want to call it, it's send you signs. So, I mean, you get a slap, you get a slap, you get a slap on your back, you get a slap on your face, you get jerked by on your ear to get it together. And then there's the big kaboom. Mm-hmm. You fall, it's all bad. So, for me, I always have to get sat down. I mean, it's happened several times. Mm-hmm. I've been through several surgeries. I've been in a coma from being overly exhausted. Right. You know what I'm saying? So, those times are the times for me to sit and reflect on what's actually happening. That is just the beginning of I can guarantee you that situation is just the beginning of all the negative shit that's gonna come my way.
Right.
Like that's not even the half of it. That shit is just to get me prepared for what's to come. Like, mm-hmm. I know that it's only gonna get worse. You know what I'm saying? It's only that's what they do. They literally build you up to tear you down. And I know people want to see me fall. I know people want to see me fail. I know motherfuckers want to see me dead. You know what I'm saying? So I'm out here, man, and I'm with whatever, however a motherfucker want to do it. I'm with that shit. Like, but I mean, my thing is, don't make me, like, I mean, come on, bro. Have you seen me lately? Like, do I look like a nigga who's pressed to grab a titty? I mean, with all humility, right. You know what I'm saying? Like, but like, come on, man. Don't try me as if I'm thirsty. Right. I'm some thirsty nigga to grab a titty. You know what I'm saying? But it was very innocent, but it happened. But it taught me. Every day is a learning lesson for me.
So it's something you learn from.
Of course. It taught me to pay attention, man. And I'm okay with that. And no matter how bad a situation is, as long as I can learn from it and grow mm-hmm. from it, I'm all right.
And you're still growing, so I feel like there's going to be a lot more of that. People are just waiting.
And every day of my life, I'm telling you, I wake up, and I'm not saying that I'm the most famous guy or nothing. I'm not here for that. I'm here to do what I do, and if you like it, cool. If you don't, cool. Mm-hmm. But every day, I realize how much people long to talk about me, August Alsina. People look to talk. It don't matter what I do, from the shit I wear to my dick to fucking anything. They want to talk about it. So it's actually me having to get through my head, no matter how much I may not want to accept it. Dude, you're famous. Like you said, hey, I hate to break it to you. You're famous. And then with being famous comes a whole lot of shit. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
How's your health lately? Because that was a particularly scary time, I think, for fans to see you in the hospital in a very, you know, just real way.
Mm-hmm. My health. I'm a sickly guy. I mean, that's just it. Something else I had to accept. Mm-hmm. I think it's really crazy how I feel like life is really predestined for me, because I don't know how I would even be alive, or I would be completely miserable if I wasn't in this position to take care of myself. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, the shit that be going on with me is outrageous. I just had another surgery. I just had a sinus surgery. If I didn't have that surgery, I would still be fucked up. I wouldn't be breathing right. I mean, they had to break like something in my nose so that I can breathe. It's like my nose. Yeah. I had a deviated septum.
Okay.
So basically, I couldn't breathe out of, you know, one side, and they had to open it up, and they also had to scrape the inside, you know, of my face. My sinus had been built up. I had like super big bags under my eyes, and the fluid would just sit there and make my eyes real black, you know.
Wow.
So it's always something, man. My eyes.
Is that why you constantly? Because this is one of the first times I see you without shades. You wear shades?
Nah, not shit. I got them. I'm
just sitting on his lap.
Yeah, they just sitting on my lap. You know what? That's me. Shades is me. I'm kind of.
It's a style thing.
Well, not even the style thing, it's a comfort thing. Mm. I don't really believe in allowing people to look me into my eyes that deeply, you know, for that long of a time. You know, when you do interviews, shit, we've been sitting here for 41 minutes.
Sure.
That's a long time you really get to see and know a person. I feel like there's so much pain in my eyes that you probably get to know more about me than I actually want you to know.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So that's the reason why I wear shades. It's just, I don't feel like everybody should be able to have that connection with you and be able to gaze into your eyes like that. You know what I'm saying?
So I feel kind of special.
that's my reason. You know, I mean, shit, right now I even have bags under my eyes. I'm tired. I'm going, you know, for like forever. I ain't stopped, man. Like, I don't think people really realize how much I've actually done over the course of 3 years. Yeah. I've only been in the game 3 years.
You know what I'm saying? You got
Two
EPs.
Some motherfuckers never drop an album. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I've really been grinding.
Shows.
And I mean, it's a lot of levels I've skipped. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, one of my friends made me realize I went from having absolutely nothing to having a bunch of everything. I didn't have the middle ground, you know what I'm saying? Like, I look at a bunch of new artists I pay attention to, that, you know, everybody have their own journey. But me, it's very, very, very weird to me how people compare me to people that's been in the game 10 plus years. I'm talking about legends. Chris Brown is a legend. He's my brother, but I still, no matter what, I still feel entitled to show that respect. Like, he's Chris Brown, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But people compare me to these people, to compare me to Trey Songz. They're like, put me in the same box as these guys who've been in they've been here for 10 years plus.
But I think it's the feeling that we get when we hear your music. Like, again, you know, Chris is somebody that we've seen his ups, his downs, his mm-hmm. struggle,
yeah.
his pains, his loves, his yeah. joys, and the
yeah.
music.
Mm-hmm.
And you exhibit those qualities, you know, some of those qualities.
Love.
I don't know if you could dance as good as Chris. You can't.
I don't dance. Chris
on some
yeah.
other shit.
Yeah, he's a dancer. That's not my. That's
he's an entertainer.
That's not my stilo. Yeah, he's definitely.
He's an all around entertainer.
That's not my stilo. It's not mm-hmm. what I do. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've just never been a dancer. That's just not.
You know what you remind me of? Like an R&B. This is gonna sound. I feel like judgment's gonna come from Rob right now. This is his field, but I don't give a shit. You remind me of like an R&B version of Kendrick, especially when I heard all the outros in those songs. The way he did "Good Kid, Mad City," and he had
a lot of people. What's crazy is I hear that a lot. I hear that a lot. I hear R&B Pac or just I hear that a lot. I mean, and you know, it's love. I respect what those guys do. Of course, I gotta respect Pac. That's Pac. I'm a fan of Kendrick. I like what Kendrick does, but I feel like the world has just—you're just now getting a taste of August Alsina. Right. You don't like. I've grown so much, and I grow drastically. Like it's not a little, you know, step by step. When I grow, I completely grow into a different person. You know what I'm saying? And when I'm on something, I'm on it. I'm off that old shit that happened yesterday. It means absolutely nothing to me. So I mean, I respect that. I respect that opinion, but that's some, you know, that's some big shoes to fill. Yeah. And I'm not saying at all that I can't fill them, but I definitely do think that like there's so much more to me that people haven't seen. Like I said, you only have one album from August Alsina.
Right. We're about to get two.
You're about to get two with this thing called Life. And
can we pre-order it yet? Not yet.
I think it's going up for pre-order.
Renata, you know?
Probably the end of the month. Yet.
Maybe. Right? But I know soon. It's sooner than later, it's going to be.
We're going to let you know. Y'all let us know when it's up for pre-order. We back here every week.
Nah, definitely.
What happened?
Yeah.
No, but we definitely like to you know, we have you as a guest on the show, so it's a lot of love and
love, man.
The album, the pre-order when it comes out, we want to make sure that all, because we, our listeners are like, they're dedicated.
I'm positive
that they'll fall in love with your music.
That means a lot, man. I appreciate you. And you know what I'm saying? Even like with your comment, I really do like, I appreciate that. Like it means actually more than you know, because it shows me that I'm on the right track. Mm-hmm. Because I mean, you know, we're given this platform, you want to use it for the right reason, mm-hmm. and you want to say the right thing. So that's all I'm focused on is all I want to do is touch people while I'm here and inspire people while I'm here and maybe save a life. And if I can do that through my music, that's all I'm focused on, man.
Well, let's help people out. We do a thing on the show. Kristen does it. We have an email, redlightspecialpc@gmail.com. And our listeners always email us about, they have like relationship issues, problems at home and stuff. And they always like looking for some insight and stuff like that. So we want to see maybe if you answer a question or two.
Okay.
Chris, we got some?
Yeah, I wanted to go over one. It's a little longer than what we usually get on the show, but I feel like it's we have all these people that email us and they give us a conflict that they're having in their relationship, and I feel like it's always something that everybody can relate to in a way, you know, female, male, whatever the case may be. But in this case, it is a female, and she said, "My boyfriend cheated on me recently while he went on a cruise. He claims that they just kissed, and I don't know whether I want to believe him or not. After he came back, he kept messaging her and calling her right in front of me. And when I would ask, he would just tell me that it's a friend. He knew that I was already suspicious about something, so he went ahead and told me everything. He included as much detail as he could because I asked. He told me how sorry he was and that he would never do it again. Even before this happened, he would be so friendly with his girls. Friendly is what he called it, but it was obviously flirting. I would always complain and he would always call me crazy. Should I forgive him and stay with him? I'm afraid that it'll happen again." So it's kind of something that she already sensed before. Mm-hmm. And then he admitted and owned up to her. And now she feels like kind of like that in the back of the head consciousness.
I mean, my thing is nobody can tell you what you should do. Only you. Only you can do that. Only you know how you feel within. Only you know how your heart feels. Only you know the hurt that you've endured from that situation. So I can't tell you what you should do. I can't tell you, oh, you should leave that nigga. I mean, I can't tell you should stay with him. I mean, it's honestly, it's all on how you feel. What I will tell you is to trust your heart. Trust your gut feeling and I mean, don't think twice about it. I'm, that's my only advice. I can't tell you know, I'm not a home wrecker. I'm not going to tell you to, oh, leave that nigga. He's a dog.
Yeah,
nah,
come
man.
Buy your ticket to the August Alsina tour. You know, leave him, bring your girl
human,
with
man.
You.
People make mistakes. And I mean, if you want to forgive him for that mistake, forgive him. If not, you know, continue on with your life. Just do whatever makes you happy. That's it.
First of all, shout out to Renata. Her face when you was reading that, she was like, "What?"
I was reading, but corner of my eye, I saw your head swinging like, "Whoa!"
We already tell she ain't gonna put up with it. I don't know. My advice is, it's up to you. Like, everybody is different. It's almost like what August said, and every relationship is different. So it's up to the man and the woman to set the boundaries in their relationship of what they will and won't accept. You know, if he is truly sorry. And you set up the boundary, like, listen, if you can't forgive him, and then be like, listen, this can't happen again. And then he explained everything that he did. It depends on what he did. She didn't exactly say what he did. If it was more than a kiss is cheating. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, because I think about it, I would feel if my lady went out and kissed another dude, that's cheating to me. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Of course it's cheating.
But they should talk, and she should set boundaries on what she will and won't accept from him. And if he can't kind of meet that criteria, then maybe they just not for each other.
Here's what I'm gonna say, because I feel like I've been in that position where not this kind of position or specifically cheating or anything, but where you have like that thought in the back of your head and you can't figure out whether you want to forgive them or not. And I think even emailing us and being in that big of a hole that you're emailing, you know what I mean? I appreciate the email, of course, you know, and we always love to hear everybody's advice requests, but I feel like it's already dwelling on you. And if it's dwelling on you, you're going to be unhappy and the other person's going to be unhappy. And he might be wrong for cheating, but if you stick to that relationship and you act the way you act, like unhappy, it's also wrong on you. That's how I feel. I don't know.
Yeah, because
I'm going to leave a relationship if I'm not happy. Or if I feel like I'm going to be upset with you all the time because you cheated and I just feel that resentment, I might as well not be in that relationship.
Yeah. What 50 said, though, we only human, girl. We make mistakes. Nah, that's crazy. All right, so hopefully that works out for Shorty who sent the email. Thank you for that. Thank you for listening. But definitely hit us up if you have any relationship. And again, I tell y'all this every week, like, y'all don't just gotta email us when something going wrong. Email us when it's the anniversary and you mm-hmm. wanna know what to get. We can help like with the good shit too. But definitely hit us up at redlightspecialpc@gmail.com and you know, keep tweeting us at RLS Podcast. Damn, all right, August, man, I feel like it's been a dope episode, man. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, I hope we covered
and
everything.
Your energy. I think we did.
I don't think I expect such like depth from you.
Is that right? You know what? I think a lot of people, like I said, I think a lot of people misunderstand me in a lot of ways. A lot of people think that I'm sporadic, and I said that in my song, mm-hmm. in Song Cry. If you don't have Song Cry, you should go get that on iTunes. I said I know they think I'm sporadic, a bastard child of an addict, but I'm way too calculated. I'm very calculated. I think a lot of people, you know, don't know that. But this girl told me one time, Tink.
Shout out to Tink.
Shout out to Tink. Super dope. She was like, I gotta stop having preconceived notions about people because you are nothing like what I thought you would be.
And I don't even think that you're like my thoughts about you weren't that you're sporadic and all that. I know that people say that about you. Uh-huh. But I think I'm one of those people that I don't like to pay attention to the drama.
Yeah.
So even when I saw, you know, the whole thing about the whole concert, what happened, you know how many times I had to read people writing that before I actually sat down like, all right, let me watch this.
Exactly.
I don't like paying attention to the negative things. But I just didn't. Again, there's so much knowledge and depth in you and inspiration that I think it was beautiful for you to come up here and just share that with everybody.
Nice. So. Look, and also, I got an award that night too in Louisiana at that show, and it was an award from I think it was the mayor or whatever. They came out on the stage and they was like, you know, gave me this award for a homegrown talent award and bringing, you know, representing the city, bringing awareness to what's going on in the world and all of that. And it's crazy to me that nobody ever talks about
the
positive. Nobody made mention of that. Nobody spoke about that at all. But you rather talk about the bullshit. I mean, that go with everybody. Everybody rather talk about the bullshit. Everybody rather push the bad shit up under the rug. Or not even the bad shit, just the shit that ain't so sweet. You know what I'm saying? Everybody rather push that under the rug and make it seem like it's all sweet. So, I mean, I'm honored. I'm honored. You know, thank you for noticing, I guess, the good in me. You know?
Right. Nah, it's dope. We definitely notice your talent. We definitely notice the good in you. You know, I just got to tell you, too, the song Hip Hop, which is also on this thing called Life.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's a dope song, man.
Thank you, bro.
I think for just hip hop heads, it's like,
yeah.
You know, I think it's like this separate thing. We were kind of talking about it earlier. Even me, like, I'm a quote unquote a hip hop journalist. Like, mm-hmm. I've.
Yeah.
So for me, when we did an R&B podcast, people were like, what is he doing? Like,
right.
What do you mean you're not going to talk to rappers? And I was like, well, yeah. I did the rap thing already, and mm-hmm. I continue to do it, but I love R&B, too.
Yeah.
Like, people don't understand how we connected. So for you to do a dedication to hip-hop, and I know you're a hip-hop, you sing, but you are a hip-hop head.
Yeah.
To do a beautiful kind of dedication like that, like, I appreciated it.
Yeah, you know what? I think that people will understand hip-hop more when they hear the album.
Mm.
Like I said, the same thing. That's the same thing that that Khaled had to say. It's a special record, man. And the whole album, man, the whole... I'm very... very excited about this album. Like, I know what it's gonna do. I don't think twice about it. I think that every song on the album is dope. It all means it, and it all, every song can inspire you in some way, shape, form, or fashion. It's good music, bro. And I honestly can say that, and not just because this is my album, I honestly can say that I have never heard an album like this ever before.
Wow.
Ever, bro. Ever. And you know what? When you hear it, I want you to hit me and be like, you know what, bro?
Well, we could talk about the album,
yeah.
So.
We're going to let you know, because before the mics came on, we was talking real honestly
mm-hmm.
about music that we like and we didn't like. So I promise you, I'll be just as honest.
Nah, for sure. And you can say, if you think my shit is trash, you can say that shit on the ad.
Trash,
I'm not tripping.
Trash is a word, like, for me... it's more critical. Like, you could be like, yo, I didn't like this because this didn't relate to me because, like,
yeah.
I think people just throw out words like, you know what trash is?
Yeah.
So I doubt, I'm not expecting trash, bro, but I'm definitely going into it with an open mind, man. I can't wait.
For
I'm
sure.
Excited.
For sure.
All right, cool. For sure. Where can they catch you? You want to shout out your social?
At August Alsina on Instagram, Twitter. It's AUGUSTALSINA. Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat. I'm just Aug. www.augustalsina.com.
Log on and word up. Yeah. Chris, where can they get you at until next week?
I don't even know my Snap thing. I have never snapped a day in my life. I have it and I have never snapped. But I'm on Twitter and Instagram, both of them, at Chris Lova. That's KRISLOVAA.
Cool. And you could catch me on Twitter and Instagram at Rob Markman, RobMarkMan, and on Snapchat, the same thing, all one word. I promise to snap more. I snapped for like the first time the other day because I was on Charlamagne's show, the Uncommon Sense.
Yeah.
So we was backstage like Snapchatting and stuff like that. So I'm going to keep up on that. But y'all can hit us there and definitely hit us at RLS Podcast. Until next week again, August Alsina, thank you for your time. Thank you
course,
for your
man.
Energy. Those
thank
are the
you.
Two most valuable things that I think we have as human beings is
yes,
time
sir.
And energy. And you gave
both
of those to us freely, man. I appreciate it.
Love, man. Thank you for having me.
Cool. All right. Until next week, we're going to take you out with Jake and Papa. This is Starless. You've been listening to the Red Light Special. Peace.